This is your Duncan Campbell.
Yes.
And you're the founder of...
One of the founders of Wheelchair Rugby.
Okay. And you're from Canada, eh?
Yeah, I'm from Canada.
Winnipeg,
yes. Winnipeg, Manitoba.
And you cheer for the, what's the team up there, the NHL team?
Oh, I cheer for the Jets.
Oh!
Jets fan.
That is the Jets. The are the team. Sorry, I'm a Blackhawks fan. Jets, I don't know.
Anyways. 25 years ago.
35 years ago.
35.
They said 25 on there.
Yeah, I'm jamming on my fingers thinking. That's right, because not in 77.
That's right, 1976.
Yes. You look very young.
Thank you. Thank you. We won't get into how old I am.
And so how did you come about to you been in the school?
I've told this story so many times. It was a bit of a fluke in a way, but there were five of us that were all quadriplegic,
yeah,
that were involved in sports, and we at that time we had the Canadian Games for the physically disabled, so we were all involved in sports like table tennis or racing or swimming, all individual sports.
Yeah.
And the only team sport that was available at that time was basketball, wheelchair basketball. But as quads, quadriplegics, with hand dysfunction, a little bit of arm dysfunction. If we played, we usually rode the bench. Right? You never get into the big games or anything like that. So we were actually going to lift weights one night. And the volunteer that helped us do that couldn't make it. So we went down to the gym and we started throwing things around. We tried a few little things and we had a volleyball. And we kind of thought, oh, bad. This is a lot of fun. And we actually came up with the idea within a night. One night.
So much for your involved.
Pardon me?
Is there
No, there was no mirror involved at that particular point. There afterwards, absolutely not. Yes. All wheelchair rugby players have to have an effect, a disability of some kind in all four limbs.
Right. What is the classification system for wheelchair rugby kick in?
It kicked in right away because there was already a classification system for all sports.
Okay.
Right, and we knew basketball had a classification system.
Yeah.
And we very consciously wanted to make sure that all of the people with disabilities that were quadriplegics got to play. So if you make a classification system where the people with the most disability are worth more on the floor, and then you create a system where you can only have so many points on the floor, then the people with more disability have to play. And what that does is it creates strategy.
Is that
it creates a role.
Was that copied off wheelchair basketball?
To some degree, yes.
So
if they have the same sort of...
They have the same thing, yeah, exactly the same thing.
So... I assume you're Barracky for Canada. Had they had any classification issues that have been made you wince?
There's, you know what? I'm not gonna, I can't get into that in a major way. In that, there's always classification. And if you ask somebody from basketball, there's classification issues. If you ask from somebody from swimming, there's classification issues.
We talked to an American earlier.
You know, like, there's always classification issues. The classifiers have the worst job in the world because nobody's ever satisfied with what they do. But they do the best they can. They're smart. They know what they're doing. And if the system needs to change, the athlete will, in some way, encourage it to change.
Do you think the countries that have better classification as someone from the Nashville perspective,
yeah.
They're really good at classification. They don't get their challenge.
Yes.
And the Americans, in comparison, had a number of chess classification challenges coming into these games,
yes.
That they lost.
Yes.
Do you think having the classifiers makes a team, like having better classifiers makes a team better and easier to compete at the international level?
What it does is it ensures that you practice the right way, because you know the exact classification of your players, so you're going to put lineups out that are appropriate and fit the classification. If you're classifications are wrong, you may train for 6 months with one lineup that becomes invalid when that classification changes. So you want to have good classifiers, you want to have good classes.
Your wheelchair, when you start on 1977, I've seen pictures of the early wheelchairs. I assume you're playing in your day chair?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, and we had no modifications, and day chairs at that time were folding chairs. They were E&Js or stainless. Those were the two brands there were. So that's the biggest change in the game, is in chairs.
When did you retire from
play? I haven't retired.
You still play? When did you get your first wheelchair
locally. I play it in the club level all the time.
When did you get your first, wheelchair run?
Jesus, that's hard for me to even think about. A long time ago. That's all I can think. Probably, I would say I've been playing for 37 years, so I would say maybe 20 years ago.
Were you involved with trying to develop a special chair as Canadians were pushing the boundaries and creating this sport?
To a degree, I think everybody was. You know, because you would want to get the chair that fit you. Because they're all super designed to an individual. Because it allows you to push better, allows you to turn better,
yeah.
Allows you to use your chair in better ways on the court. Like, you notice that the defensive chairs are lower
yeah.
and longer. That's because the people that are usually in a defensive chair are usually a higher disability, which means they have less balance, so they sit lower, so they can use their arms better, and they're longer, so they can create, they can put screens out and set picks for those high point players that are carrying the ball. It's very much strategic.
In wheelchair basketball, the low point player actually gets more court time because
the high point player to play.
Yeah,
and that's the same in this game. Although in this game, I think there's two ways to go in this game. You can go a high-low lineup, which is potentially two very high point players and two very low point players, which is what Australia does right now with that and is it Bond? The new kid, Cameron Bond or Cameron Ward? Anyway, they have two high point players, and then they use two point five players. It creates a very interesting scenario for, say, the U.S., who use four midpoint players. So in that situation, the four players cannot carry the ball. In the Australian situation, usually only two of them can carry the ball.
Because we know you have to go send, the all important question is, Canada going to be the Australian tonight?
Of course they are.
Because Australians love to gamble, what's your line on Canada?
I would say it's not a big line. I'm not putting a big line on it, but I'd say probably it's about, I don't know, 6-5. Can you do that?
I don't bet much. For the Canadian broadcast, or for the
what's that, sorry?
You said you're providing color commentary.
That was for the IPC, for Paralympic Sport TV. So I did the GB US game this morning.
Yeah.
I do the Sweden Australia game tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2. And then I'm doing the U.S. France game at the last day.
So are you happy with? Are you happy with the level of coverage the Canadians are providing your sport?
No.
Okay. Thank you for the answer.
Okay, Journalistic Sports TV is their own entity. They webcast.
Yeah.
But they're not a Canadian entity.
Yeah.
Our Canadian television is doing... can I swear?
Yeah, go ahead!
No. They're only putting on, I think, an hour a day. A highlight package. Which to me is, well, yes, I've heard it's better than the U.S., but at the same time, it's crap.
Yeah.
You know, you look here, they got it on 18 hours a day, and they've got good viewership.
Yeah.
When are we going to learn in North America that viewership is out there for you?
Yeah.
You know, how many times do we have to demonstrate it? We had the Paralympics in Vancouver 2 years ago. The Winter Paralympics, and we had crappy coverage there, but there was an actual outburst demand to put the opening ceremonies on TV because they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
They had to do it because everybody complained.
Yeah.
So they did it, but they only did it in BC, in our home province, for the closing ceremonies, they broadcast it nationally because the demand was so high. But they still haven't changed their attitudes.
I have one last question now. What did it mean for you when they had a Canadian flag bearer who was a wheelchair rugby player?
I recruited that guy. I mean, I recruited him. I found him playing hockey. We play ball hockey in the summertime. And I found him playing hockey, and he has... That guy has put in so much time and effort into the game.
Yeah.
He absolutely deserved it. No better player.
Thank you very much. We are very
appreciated. All right, good stuff.